As Prepper Broadcasting listeners, you already know that the more self-reliant people we have around, the better off we'll be in a disaster. That's why we started Prepper.org. The mission? Bring top survival, prepping, and homesteading experts under one roof to share their knowledge with as many Americans as possible. I want you to go to prepper.org/PBN. We've got a free survival basics guide for you by the one and only Ron Foster. That's prepper.org/PBN. Prepper.org/PBN.
You've just joined the Prepper Broadcasting Network, where we promote self-reliance and independence. The views and opinions expressed are strictly those of the host or their guests. Visit us in the interactive chat room at PrepperBroadcasting.com.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to my second show. Very exciting stuff here. I've had a very interesting week and day, and my voice might be a little harsh. It is to me. You probably can't tell because my daughter has decided to go on a screaming fit today, and not in a bad way. She's just been having a lot of fun. She likes to hide, and she likes scary ghosts and things, so she's been screaming and running and hiding, and it's been a lot of fun, but my voice is not exactly where it needs to be. Today, we're going to be talking about prepping with kids, just like involving kids in your preparedness, prepping with them, just all that kind of stuff. So, you know, the live chat is open if anybody is in there or interested. So I have a 2.5 year old daughter, and it's been a blast with her. I'm actually pregnant right now. I am 24 weeks. I'm almost 25 weeks. So I'm 24 weeks pregnant, and it makes me so sad because I'm getting to the point where, like, I just can't do a lot of stuff with her that I used to be able to do. Like, you know, even today, just running around the house with her, I'm just like, I'm exhausted. And, like, you know, we were actually playing the other day. Like, I just can't do certain things with her that I used to. And I still think that I can. I can't. Like, I had her on my back a few days ago. And we also have two dogs. They come into play here in the story in just a second. And I had her on my back, and it's perfectly safe and everything to be doing this. And we were running through the house, and one of our dogs came and literally swept me off my feet. And I went just boom down onto the ground. And I was like, I was trying to protect my stomach, and I was trying to catch her as she was sliding off my back. And like, we were all fine, but it was kind of scary. So, you know, I just can't do a lot of things with her that I used to be able to do. And I have to really check myself sometimes. And I hate saying to her, like, oh, I'm sorry, I can't do that with you. But it's for the safety. And she doesn't, you know, she doesn't understand. I think she does understand, and she's totally fine with it when I'm all like, oh, maybe when Dada gets home, stuff like that. But kids in general, I've found, you know, I only have one kid, okay, right now, you know, that second on the way here. But I have found so far that kids are really smart, you know, at least my child is. Maybe we have just gotten really lucky or something, but we joke about this all the time because I am, like, our daughter, we call her Kid Rogue. So I'm going to call her. She's just like a really good kid. Like, she sleeps through the night. She takes great naps. You know, she's a little picky eater, but she's a normal kid. but she doesn't really throw tantrums. You know, sometimes she does. Again, she's a kid. But, you know, from all these horror stories that I've seen from, like, everybody else, I'm like, I have this golden child, and then the second child's going to come along, and it's going to be, like, the the complete opposite child. That's what everybody tells me. You know, you have that one perfect, great child, and then you have the other child. I don't know. We'll see. I don't really buy into that very much. But let's see. So, yeah, now it's time to figure out pregnant plus existing kid. Yeah. That's hard because, so since my daughter has been born at 2 months old, we took her on her first camping trip and everybody told us, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. She's too young. She's too young. Nah, she was fine. It was, I think, well, she was 2 months old, born in July. Yeah, it was September. It was September in Texas, which the weather isn't that bad. It was a little warm, I think, but she was so small still that she basically slept the entire time. And we had her comfortable, you know, we had a little fan on her and, you know, we had a little, you know, we had blankets for her at night and all that stuff. And when she was awake, we would just walk around and have her, you know, look at nature, and she loved it. She loved it. She had a really great time. And, you know, we still had everything we needed, the diapers and, you know, whatever else, you know, I was her food source. So we had that. So, you know, there was nothing wrong with taking her at 2 months old. It was only one night. It was just a very quick night. And we had this awesome little bassinet. It was a travel bassinet. We still have it, but she actually outgrew it. But now I'll be using it for the next child. And then at, let's see, it was 2 months old there. And then we would just walk outside of, you know, that one camping trip. We would just walk all the time. Like I put her in the stroller, just walk, walk, walk all the time. And then at 5 months old, I started hiking with her. And I was so excited to that, like we bought this little carrier. It was this like, carrier that very old Kelty that we found on Craigslist, but it worked for us. We didn't know any better. We're like, yeah, carrier. And it was actually really great for a while. We actually just upgraded. But anyway, so put her in the carrier at 5 months old. It's so funny. I have these pictures. She was still small and I couldn't adjust it. It was so old. And, her little eyes and like just a little bit of her forehead are like poking out of the carrier. It's really cute. But she was old enough to go in the carrier and she, it was a very short hike because she was still small, you know, 5 months old, still small. And then, you know, to go on these big trekking adventures, it's hard. You know, she wants to sleep, she wants to eat, you know, she wants to do whatever. And so, you know, it was just a very short trip, but she was awesome. Just the best baby the whole time. And just was looking around, you know, I would get my phone out to do the reverse camera to look at her because I wanted to see her expressions and it was just awesome. And, so anyway, ever since then, you know, we've just been a really big outdoor family. And I think that that's, personally important, for us and our family. And I think that because we've been such a big outdoor family, you know, we go on hikes a lot. We have decreased the hikes lately because of my pregnancy. Everything is just harder with being pregnant, and especially with an existing toddler and then a you know, being pregnant, it's just, you know, it's just everything is more exhausting, period. And I have not been hiking as much. I've been trying to get out and walk, which the nice thing is she's, you know, 2.5 years old and now she's actually walking, wanting to walk more instead of just being in the stroller. So we can go out and walk together. It's a lot of fun. Sometimes I'll still take the stroller. I have those big jogger strollers because you know, we like to go to parks that and then go off roading on the parks and things like that. But yeah, it's been extremely valuable to us to get her outside as soon as possible, because she doesn't know any different. She doesn't know that this is not a normal thing to do, you know, that most kids aren't out hiking, that most kids aren't out doing this, most kids aren't out doing that. She, it's just that that's how it is. You know, we go out hiking, we go out walking, we go out camping. Every time we go to REI, she just freaks out at the tents. She's, tents! She loves tents, because we've been camping with her so many times, but probably we've probably been camping with her more times in her 2.5 years of life than I've been in my entire life. No, that's probably not true. But still, she's been camping so many times, you know, that it's just something that we do and love. And, you know, and so, you know, every time we go to these outdoor stores and the outdoor world and stuff, that's, she thrives. I mean, seriously thrives. This last camping trip we were on, we were doing a little fishing, and she just started grabbing my pole and wanted to fish. And I thought it was so amazing, because I've been fishing with her several times before, but she was younger, obviously, and, you know, just loved to watch me. But really, I always tried to, like, put the pole in her hand, you know, when she was, like, a year old or something, you know, just kind of, you know, play around. And, you know, she's never really interested. But this last camping trip, when we were fishing, she just grabbed onto my pole and wanted to fish and was trying to throw it and bring the fish in. It was amazing. It was awesome. So for Christmas, we actually got her own pole, and the pole is actually neat. It came from Cabela's, and it has this little foam thing attached to it with some, like, foam fish that they can pretend to catch at home. And it's really cool, but it's also a real fishing pole that she can practice with, which is pretty cool. So I'm hoping that she's going to get more involved in that. That would be really neat. We have some local spots to fish, not a ton. I do live in Texas, so a lot of the spots are either a little bit of a drive away, or they're gone because of drought. But it's not very droughty season right now. It's you know, it's winter, lots of rain and stuff. But yeah, so anyway, it's just always been normal for her, and that's going to be probably one of the main bases that you're going to hear me saying over and over and over in today's podcast, is just making it normal for them. And this may be more difficult if you have older kids and maybe you've just gotten into preparedness, and I totally get that. I'm going to cover that as well. Real quick, I am going to jump to a break really quick, get some water. Y'all will hear a couple sponsors, and we'll be in just a second.
The ultimate wood-burning, collapsible survival and camping stove just got better. Designed for the prepper, survivalist, or weekend adventurer, the Under 6 Elite and the new Under 2.2 Elite Survival Stoves by SurvivalStoveWorks.com can cook meals in under 6 minutes. Cook your meals with just a few twigs and sticks, and without all the smoke and black soot. The Under 6 Elite weighs under 6 pounds, weighing even less than new 2.2 Elite. Each of these high-quality survival stoves can be assembled in under a minute. Made right here in the USA, these stoves, even with all the extras, are still easy to store and transport in their own carrying cases. On sale now, with free shipping. Watch the videos, see both in action. Then, get yours now at SurvivalStoveWorks.com. SurvivalStoveWorks.com. When disaster strikes and your GPS is useless, ancient navigation techniques will ensure your survival. New from Ulysses Press. Prepper's Survival Navigation. With this guide, you can easily travel through even the farthest, remotest places, utilizing tips from the United States Army and lifelong wilderness experts. You'll learn life-saving navigation techniques. This definitive guide to terrain navigation also teaches you essential survival skills like firecraft, water procurement, and shelter making. Prepper's Survival Navigation is essential to have on hand during any outdoor adventure, including the weekend family outing. On sale now. Find Prepper's Survival Navigation on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Prepper Broadcasting, or wherever fine books are sold.
All right, we're back. Yes, feeling good, rejuvenized after that little bit of water. So, all right, let me actually get back into the chat here real quick. Give me just a second. Every time I try to navigate away, it like always gets rid of the little message bar thingy that you actually input your, I'm blanking on what it's called, but anyway, okay, back in. All right, so let's get into the meat of this. So of course, you know, I'm going to be talking from experience here, and I'm going to be talking from, you know, people who have talked to me about prepping with kids, you know, especially older kids and things like that. You know, I know people who have, you know, prepped with kids, older kids. I know some of the kids are super hardcore into it, and some kids are just kind of like, yeah, sometimes I like it, sometimes I don't. You know, I think when kids get older, you know, every kid's going to be different, but, you know, we all go through the teen stage of, I don't want to do that anymore. I just want to do my own thing. And but you hope that through, you know, certain consistent routines and things, you know, you can make them continue certain activities and things even through their moody teen years, right? So yeah. I think that just, you know, like I personally grew up camping, loved it. Every summer, my father and my brother and I would go camping. My mom didn't like camping. She still doesn't. But we always went camping at the coast. I grew up in Oregon, and we went to the Oregon coast, and we were like an hour and a half drive from it. And we would stay there for like a week and just hang out. Camp, and it was the best times. And we actually had a forest behind our house, and I would go in the forest and you know, try to find deer, and you know, I would be looking at all the, you know, trees and plants and all these things, not knowing that anything could be edible or anything. Like, nobody taught me this stuff. Nobody, you know, said any of this kind of stuff to me. I just kind of did it because that's what I love to do. Nature called to me. but you know, now being a prepper and, you know, knowing a lot more about the outdoors, and you know, I never fished and I never hunted and I never did any of that with when I was younger. I actually only got into a lot of this stuff in my late 20s. And so that, you know, I'm so adamant about getting her, you know, my children started so early, because I just want them to have the most advantages in life. And I think getting kids outdoors and getting them into the prepper community and things like that is a huge advantage to kids. You know, I don't, she could totally take a whole nother path in life. Like, oh, I want to be a doctor. I want to do this. So, you know, I want to be a ballerina, whatever. I don't care, whatever she wants to be when she grows up. But I want her to still have these values of, you know, loving the outdoors and knowing how to be prepared and self-sufficient and, you know, having survival skills and all these things. It's just so, it's very, very important to me. You know, something that I really wish that I didn't, or really wish that I did have growing up, but, you know, can't go back. So anyway, we're moving forward here. So anyway, yeah. I'm looking at my notes here and trying to stay focused. So first of all, I just want to say, you know, there's always going to be a struggle with kids in general, because kids are their own beings, you know, they're their own entities. They have their own minds, they have their own everything. But as I keep saying, you know, we have to get them involved as soon as possible. If you have older kids, and let's say, you know, you have, you know, like 15-year-olds or something, and you're just now getting into prepping yourself as an adult, and you want to teach your kids, truly, I think, the very best way to get them involved is to monkey see, monkey do. I think that that's going to be the best thing in everything, you know. Oh, well, I'm going to go camping, you know, and hey, I'm going to find, you know your kids best. So what can you entice them with? I saw this father and son who were camping, and they got all set up, and then they just sat there and they read a book for like, you know, the good first little while. I think it was close to dinner, but not close enough, right? So they just sat there and they read a book together and just read a book. And I thought that was so cool. And I looked at them and I was like, oh, I can't wait for the day in which I can just sit there with my daughter and read a book outdoors. That'll be so cool. But, you know your kids best. So what is going to entice them to get involved in this stuff? You know, fire making is always really cool. I had these kids come over to our house once before I had kids. They were kids of a friend. They were older and they liked the outdoors, but they weren't really like, super into it or whatever. And to entertain them, I decided it would be fun to show them how to make a fire. And so we got into the chimenea and we had a chimenea in the backyard. We didn't have a fire pit at the time. We do now, but anyway, we had a little chimenea and I was like, go collect all these branches and I got this fire starter and we got, you know, all this stuff and we're going to make a fire. Oh man, they loved it. Right. And that's just it's a basic skill that like everybody knows, right? How to make a fire. But that's fun. That's enticing. That's, you know, something that can really engage them. And then from there you can move on to, you know, whatever else. Because there's a lot of not so fun parts of prepping. I think everything in prepping is fun, except for like the organization part, I guess. That's pretty boring to me. I'm not like a neat freak or an organization freak or anything. So, but anyway, I think not everybody may see everything in the prepper survival world as super exciting and fun. But they might over time if you introduce them to things that interest them. So, you know, even with older kids, you can always find something that interests them. Give them a survival book that they love to read. Give them something, you know, super fun, you know, survival book or whatever. But also something that is really, really important is just involving them. Even if they don't really feel like doing it or something, just like, yeah, let's just try it out for a few minutes. If you don't like it, that's cool. These are older kids, right? You know, with my daughter, I just show her I'm doing something and she wants to do it because, you know, I'm her mother and she loves to do things that I do. You know, kids mimic their parents and they, you know, want to do these fun things that their parents are doing. And so involving them. It's just so important to involve them in everything. I've been involving my child in inventorying my bug out bag since ever. I've just had her there, you know? And so, you know, sometimes I'll have her like kind of pull stuff out of the bag and I'll explain what it is, whether she fully understands what it is or not. That's not the point. The point is she's there with me, looking at what's going on, maybe not fully comprehending, but understanding that we're doing something, you know, of a certain age or whatever it is, whatever she thinks that it is. You know, of course, I explain everything to her. Oh, I'm going to inventory my bug out bag. Let's look inside. Oh, what's this? It's a flashlight. What's this? Blah, 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 blah. And she has her own bug out bag. And so I'll inventory her bug out bag with her. And I'll ask her, you know, what toys do you want? And I'll show her that, oh, I'm going to put a glow stick in here. Oh, what snacks do you want in here? You know, things like that, like, you know, just trying to involve her. And of course, you know, she's a kid, so she's going to get kind of bored. She's a toddler, rather. So she's going to get kind of bored real quick. But she's actually super helpful, and she really enjoys it, and she enjoys wearing the backpack. And I get some heat sometimes with showing my daughter wearing her backpack. It's like, oh, that can't be good for her. I'm like, the backpack weighs like a pound, maybe, not even that. Like, I mean, she has like a couple diapers and a couple snacks and like a glow stick in it. That's pretty much it. Like, I'm not weighing this backpack down with a bunch of stuff. Like, it's just to get her like involved in it, you know, it's just to get her sort of introduced to it. And she loves wearing backpacks. She's obsessed with it. And, so, you know, I don't think that there's anything wrong with it, but I don't know. Some people think that it's wrong. I don't know. Maybe if you're piling it down with rocks, yeah, it's probably not good for them, but that's not what I'm doing. let's see. Can I introduce them to prepper things, but don't tell them they are prepper things? That's also really, really important. That's a really good point. So introducing them to prepper things, but not telling them it's prepper things. Everything that I introduce my daughter to, I never tell her, oh, this is part of prepping, this is part of preparedness, survival, whatever. I don't say that. I just say, oh, this is what we're doing. Oh, you know, I need some extra water for our water storage. Oh, I got to put this food away for our food storage. Yeah, I don't say it's for prepping or, you know, it's for prepper things, but I do explain to her why I'm doing certain things. It's just that she pays attention and that she doesn't. She's only 2.5. I can only expect so much. Yeah. Kids are so smart. Kids are amazingly smart. I have watched my daughter learn things that I didn't even know she was learning. And she'll just like start saying things or talking about things or leading me to things. And I'm like, how do you know this? Were you paying attention? Kids are incredibly smart. They see and hear everything. And I don't think that we give kids enough credit. So, you know, we may think that they're not paying attention or that, well, maybe because they're not comprehending, you know, fully or whatever, that they just don't get it. It's not true. Kids are so smart and they really comprehend way more than we give them credit for. I'm always, always amazed at what she understands. You know, maybe it's not to the full extent, but she really understands this, you know, a lot of stuff that I'm telling her. And, I think part of that is really going to be helpful in the sense of explaining it to them clearly, you know, talking to them not like they're stupid because they're not. you know, I don't talk to my child like she's a baby. I just talk to her and I tell her stuff and she gets it. So yeah, kids are just way smarter than we give them credit for. And we need to actually treat them as if, you know, they know what we're saying, because truly I think that they do. And the more that we say this stuff, the more that we do this stuff, the more that they are going to continue to, recall this stuff later on. So, you know, I'm not making just one camping trip with her, or, you know, making one fire. Fire is another thing she likes. we have only made a fire with her a few times, but she loves fire. And she has recalled that she loves fire from the couple times that we've made it. And I'll let her, you know, throw a piece in, or, you know, I'll let her pretend to baton, you know, something, or, you know, she's not actually doing anything, but she is involved. You know, let's kind of keep going back to it. Involve your kids, involve them in everything. Whether they're doing it, quote unquote, right or not, that's not the point. The point is not to make them do it right. And the point is to involve them and get them aware of whatever you're doing. And yes, everyone does like fire. I think preppers specifically, and survivalists, bushcrafters, all of us, I think all of us are closet pyromaniacs, Volcana. Yes, I think you're right. I love fire. It's so funny. I like fire, but I live in Central Texas, and we're basically in pretty much a constant burn ban, even here in Central Texas. I don't know if that means anything to anybody, but it rains more here in Central Texas than it does in like West Texas. North Texas actually gets a lot of rain. East Texas usually is not in a burn ban. Yeah, here in Central Texas, we're like always in a burn ban. And so it's pretty funny how we're like so obsessed with fire, but like we always carry fire kits and things like that, but like we can never have a fire unless we go to a camping spot that has a fire ring, and then we can have a fire. And we always try to do backpacking trips, so it's pretty rare that we actually go to a campsite that has a fire ring. And then we have a fire pit in our backyard, which we have not used as often as we should, but it's pretty funny. Total burn ban area here, and yet, you know, I talk about fire just constantly a lot. Anyway, so as much as we are involving kids in everything that we do, there are going to be messes, and there are going to be tough times and struggles with kids, because kids are figuring out this world. I'm 34 years old and I still am figuring stuff out. Okay. I think we're all going through life still figuring stuff out until, you know, the day we're in the grave. But kids, especially, you know, where they have no idea about anything, nothing. And it's our job to teach them and help them and explain things to them and, you know, just let them know about life, right? But I think it has to be, it should be in a positive way. Like, for an example, today, my daughter loves to mix things, right? She loves to help me mix eggs, or likes to help mix the pancake mix, or just mix anything. She loves to mix, and she has all of her pretend food, and she just loves that stuff. So when we're actually making food, you know, I always bring her along in the kitchen and help me make stuff. And she was mixing the eggs, mixing, and I didn't really care whether, you know, she was doing it good or not, because I was just going to mix it again later. But I was, you know, also busy with another task of the meal. And then all of a sudden the bowl tips over and about half the eggs fall into the floor. I was like, oh no, it's okay. It's just an accident. Let's clean it up. You know, it's just eggs. We have like 4 cartons full of eggs right now because we have chickens and they are producing 5 eggs a day. We can only eat so many eggs. We're only a family of 3. Okay. And we give eggs away. Anyway, so, you know, the eggs went on the ground. It's like, whatever, it's all good. And so like, we just cleaned it up, and she was just like, she actually helped me clean it up, but it was like, halfway through of me cleaning it up, she was trying to get back up to start mixing it. And I was all like, and I just tried to keep explaining to her, I can't, hold on. Just give me a second. I'm not done cleaning. Hold on. You know, I just had to kind of repeat myself a few times. And I was like, you know what? Like her, a little toy had gotten an egg on it. So I was like, you know what? Take this toy, go rinse it off in the sink. Have fun with that. So I had to distract her for a little while I continue to clean up the mess. And that's kind of what I'm talking about when it comes to like little struggles with kids, you know, because kids, my daughter's just so good and eager and helpful. And, you know, when she sees a mess, she, you know, tries to help me clean it up and all that, but she's still a kid. She still just wants to like get right back to it. Right. So I have to give her another task. And that's so important, especially in emergencies and disaster situations, because you're going to know your kid best. So how are you going to help them get through it? You know, if you're stressing out, they're going to stress out. You know, kids feed off of our emotions, especially if we're very stressed, you know, angry, things like that. It could be, you know, a whole spiral of everybody. So how are we as adults going to help them get through it as well? And sometimes it may be the fact that we need to distract them with something while we figure out a problem. Because not everything, like my 2.5-year-old is not going to be able to help me board up my windows, right? So I need to find something for her to do while I'm doing this task. You know, like if it's just me. Now, if it's me and my husband, maybe, you know, he can go do that while I play with my daughter or something like that. It gets tricky, you know, if it's just one person and a child, something like that. Not tricky, but it just, you know, you have to know your kid and what's going to help them get through it. Like if we were in a lights out situation, my daughter really likes to watch home movies from our phones of herself, of course. She loves to watch movies of herself. And so that would probably be one way that I could distract her for a little while I do something. I, you know, don't see any problem with that. You know, when she gets older, maybe it's a book, maybe it's a board game, maybe it's a, you know, just any other kind of game. Oh, you know, go hide and I'll find you in 5 seconds or whatever. I don't know. You know your kids best. What are they going to like to do in the meantime while you are doing something that needs to be done that they cannot help with? I'm all about, you know, getting your kids involved and having them help and all that. But if they can't help you in a certain situation, which they may not be able to in a lot of situations, what are you going to do? What are they going to do rather? How are they going to remain relaxed? Another thing you could do is task them with something. So, you know, if they're of the age where they can count, you can say, oh, can you do me a favor and go count the water storage or count our board games or, you know, hey, can you go make sure there's all the pieces in this board game or whatever it is. Task them with something they can do. My daughter is really into painting right now. That might be something I would do. She's really into Play-Doh. It might be something I would have her do. To just kind of, you know, occupy them. but speaking of board games and entertainment, that's something that I think is really often forgotten, in emergency preparedness plans and things like that. It's just entertainment because everybody's focused on the flashlights and the self-defense and the, you know, whatever else that you need, you know, the food and the water, right? But they forget about the entertainment purposes. You know, if you're bugging in, if you're in your household, especially with kids, okay, what are you going to do if the lights are out? You know, listen, kids are really into technology these days, video games, YouTube, you know, whatever. That's just how it is. I try to limit my child on that stuff, on YouTube especially, you know, but at the same time, that stuff still exists in their life. That didn't exist in my life when I grew up. No way. I'd use my imagination 24/7, but it does exist in their life. And I don't think that that's necessarily a terrible thing. However, if that stuff does not exist anymore, how are you going to entertain them? There's lots of craft ideas that you could do. My daughter loves crafts. You know, we do it all the time. She does it at her daycare. She loves it, but we have to introduce them to it, you know, and we have to make sure that they, you know, acknowledge that this is a type of activity that's really fun. And kids love to learn this kind of stuff. I just got a couple box sets of these learning activities for anywhere from 2 to 4 year olds. And it has like flashcards, and it has these little, like little animal colored counting things. And they're awesome, and they're great, and they're going to be great for every day to help her learn, and they're going to be great for, you know, emergencies, disaster situations. You could also go to the dollar store and get a whole bunch of crafts from the dollar store and put them in a box, and that'll be like your emergency disaster entertainment box. You could do that with board games too if your kids are old enough for board games, card games, all that stuff. We're big into card games and board games. You know, I think I've been trying to find board games for 2-year-olds, but it's always 3+. Everything is 3+. Anyway, I'm not going to get into that rant. So entertainment is very important for kids. It's really, really important that they have things that they like, and that the entertainment is growing with them. It's not just, you know, that you have the same crafts for them, you know, 10 years later, and they're into, you know, they're not going to like those crafts anymore. Those are baby crafts, you know, they might say. good old teenagers. So when we're, okay, let's see. I have notes here, and I'm checking things off. I do quickly want to talk about eating, like kids and food. I think this is a huge struggle with a lot of parents just day to day in just everything that we do. I don't know how I Google recipes, and I try to find things to like expand my daughter's palate and like, you know, have fun dinners and things like that. And some have fun lunches to send her to daycare. And some of these things are like, what kid eats these things? Like, who is feeding their kids these things? I don't think so. But I think that some kids have far different lifestyles than other people, you know. But I'm always trying to find really, you know, healthy, you know, meals. Like, I'll mix like, you know, breadcrumbs and chicken and broccoli and cheese together and like little meatball type of things. And she loves it. Those are great. And they're healthy. You're not doing the broccoli and things all separate. You got it all in this nice little ball. You know, she can kind of taste what she's eating, but it's covered up with some cheese and but anyway, some kids are just picky eaters, period. And so when it comes to food storage stuff, we have to understand how our children eat. And, you know, in the grand scheme of things, your children, when they're hungry, they will eat. Okay. I have gotten my child to eat a couple spoonfuls of some Mountain Houses, but it's because she has an alternative, such as macaroni and cheese, which is her absolute favorite right now. It's because they have alternatives that they know, well, I don't have to eat that. And so if you don't give them alternatives, which is what I have been learning a lot lately, because I used to ask her what she wanted for dinner, mac and cheese, surprise. So now I don't ask her. Now I just give her something. And lo and behold, she just eats it. That's magical. Because there are no other options. I'm not giving you three different options. And if I give you the option you don't want, well, of course you're going to cry and moan and complain because you wanted something else. I mean, that's just human nature. Well, I didn't want the tuna. I said I wanted the mac and cheese. You know, I know that you have both. Give me what I want. So, in our food storage, you know, I make a few, I have a food storage menu plan, and I am aware of things that she likes, but I also have to understand that I cannot store some of the things that she has to have. Now, luckily, she does like a lot of things that are easily storable. Right now, she really likes tuna. Right now, she likes mac and cheese. Right now, she likes green beans, which I think is insane. But awesome. Insane, though. But, you know, she likes a lot of storable things. But, you know, if I pull something out and I say, well, okay, that's all we have, and she throws a fit, I'm just going to have to let her throw a fit until she realizes this is what we have to eat. Unfortunately, you know, and the kids will either go hungry or they won't. You know, my child definitely will not go hungry. She will eat eventually. And sometimes kids are just crazy. They're so tired, or they're so amped up, or they're so whatever, you know, they're so excited about whatever's going on around them that they just won't eat. And then, you know, they'll wake up from their nap or something and they'll be ravenous. So, why didn't you make me eat? Or it's like, I tried. And so now you're crying because you're hungry, but I'm trying to feed you, and you're crying because I'm trying to feed you. Kids are funny. So we do have to be aware of what they are into, and if we can accommodate them, that's fabulous. But if we can't in some areas, then they'll adapt. Kids are also very adaptable. I don't even think I've mentioned that this whole time, but if you have children, I think you know that kids are very adaptable. I don't think I'm ever shocked at the fact that my child is adaptable to so many different environments. Like we've camped in very cold weather. We've camped in hot weather. We've, you know, been to many different places. You know, I always say boredom is perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with bored children. And I think that that's something that, with technology and the iPads and the YouTube and all the, and, you know, the phones and all this, kids are just always so engaged. But I don't think there's anything wrong with bored kids. I was bored all the time when I was a kid. And you know what I did? I looked over to my toys. I brought out my imagination and I started to play. And I did, you know, whatever I could to entertain myself. And it was because I was bored. You know, yeah, sure, we had TV, but I think, I think we had like limitations. I can't remember why I wasn't watching more TV, but I know we had limitations. Like we would watch it like Saturday morning cartoons and like after dinner. And that was like it. I didn't watch a whole lot of TV until I got older, like older teens. And I was, you know, and I got into certain shows, but, anyway, I think it's okay. And Volcana says, except when they whine, Mom, I'm bored. Yeah, well, cool. Go be bored. Find something to do. You know, I mean, again, I only have a 2.5-year-old, but she's been bored. I've taken away her iPad. Like I said, I try to limit her, and I'll take it away and say, you know, oh, let's play, let's do something, you know, let's not watch this, you know, for a little while, let's do something else. And sure, she cries for a second. She's upset that I just took something away that she was very engaged with, but she gets over it really quick and finds so much to do. And you can really see kids blossom when they get bored, truly. Or they'll go the other way and be really destructive, but you don't want them to go that way. Structured boredom, I guess, is kind of what I'm getting at here. You know, you still want them to be engaged, but in a positive way. But boredom should breed that imagination, and it should help them with problem solving. I mean, actually, boredom helps with a lot of things. You know, that's why I always ran up into the forest when I was a kid, because I was bored. And so I was like, oh, let's, you know, go find some deer. Let's go do this. Let's go do that. So yeah. And I think siblings help too. Of course, my brother was 3 years older, and he and I like never really played that much together. It was always just me and my friend and my dog and just running around by myself. Isn't that fun? I think about my past and I'm like, man, my parents really like just let me literally do whatever I wanted. I mean, I was in that forest in our backyard for hours. I didn't have a cell phone, no tracking devices, no nothing on me. And I think back on it and I'm like, were my parents worried? Like, did they wonder where I was? I think about letting my child do that these days, and I'm like horrified because I'm actually engaged in the news and terrible people and everybody just, the world is just evil. And I try to think about having I don't have her on like a leash or anything. And, you know, of course I let her explore and have fun, but, I don't know. I think I would let her go into the forest these days, but it's just funny to think about how loose our parents were. I get on my bike and go down to the local convenience store, which was like a mile away or something. Just me. Sometimes me and my brother. Just get on my bike. Okay, I'm going to go to the convenience store. I'm going to get some penny candies. See you later. I come back. That's it. Again, no tracking devices, no cell phones to be like, to, you know, check in on or anything like that. It's just funny to think about that stuff. But anyway, so to, yeah, I agree. The forest is probably better than the city these days. You know, I actually lived in a city. Where we lived was actually in a city, but it was Oregon, so there are forests everywhere. But it's also a college town, and small. It was small. It's not small anymore. It's gotten very posh and hip. I really want to move out to the country. I would really like that one day. I'm not a huge fan of cities, you know, and we're not even like deep in a city now, but I think that raising a child out in the country is just makes them a little more well-rounded, I think. You know, I've seen the difference. My grandma, I go visit her every year, and she lived out of the city, kind of on a little farm. I loved it. It was the best times. And you know, I've always been that country girl at heart, and I know my daughter is. She absolutely is. She's already been riding horses, and she has her little cowgirl boots. She's the country girl through and through. There's no question. But you know, it's getting the finances and all that together. But anyway, to roll back again, prepping with the kids does not have to be a battle and it doesn't have to be difficult. I think we just need to know our kids and we need to introduce them to things that maybe, you know, how do I put this? We just need to introduce them to things that isn't necessarily introducing them to prepper life. It's just introducing them to the fun aspects of being prepared. It's kind of like introducing a spouse to preparedness, you know. Well, what is your spouse going to be really interested in? Your spouse is going to be interested in gardening? Is your spouse going to be interested in firing guns? You know, what is your spouse going to be interested in? So what is your child going to be interested in? And then, you know, just involving them. Kids are smart. Kids want to be involved. They really do. You know, even through the teen years, as much as they moan, I remember because I was a teen, okay? But as much as they might moan about it, I think that they still enjoy it. And, you know, the more you try to not force them to be involved, but just kind of nudge them in the right direction of things that they might be interested in to get involved with, the better off they'll be in the long run, especially when it comes to actually dealing with those emergencies and disasters. You know, they wouldn't be so caught off guard with all these things that you're doing because they've already been introduced to it. Oh, we're packing the car to bug out because, you know, blah, blah, blah. Oh, I remember we've done this drill before. You know, whatever. So anyway, thank you all so, so much for listening. I really appreciate you all. And if you have any other questions or anything, you can always reach me at my website at roguepreparedness.com. I'm also on YouTube and Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, all under Rogue Preparedness. And again, thank you all so much for watching. Truly appreciate you. Conquer tomorrow by preparing today. I'll talk to y'all later. Bye-bye.
Today's broadcast has come to you through the courtesy of the Prepper Broadcasting Network. See our hosts, show schedules, archive programs, and more at PrepperBroadcasting.com. Thanks for listening.